Welcome to the Coach's Edge podcast. If you're watching on YouTube and you can see this PDF, I think it's going to benefit you. If you're listening on YouTube and you'd like access to this PDF on handling and attacking ball pressure, it's going to be a good one. This comes from the Hoop Smart Coaches Academy. I had the chance to speak at that coaches clinic, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago as I'm recording this, with Ken George, Coach Troshak up in Charlevoix, Michigan. It was a great clinic. And this PDF is something that I gave to all the coaches as far as being able to give them some ideas on how they can better build basketball players that can break down the defense. It really stems from a few different people. One, our conversation in the spring with Jay Green, varsity girls basketball coach in Kingston, Michigan, working with his program and having him tell me, you know, a lot of girls basketball starts with the ability to give pressure and the ability to handle it. And I think, you know, what's one of the most important skills at the youth basketball level is kids are still struggling with passing long distances because of strength, shooting from farther away because of strength. But you know what younger kids can do, if they can build their skills up, they can really handle the basketball, and that can make life easier, not only for them currently, but as they continue to develop and get stronger from a footwork standpoint, hand-eye coordination, and obviously having the ability to enjoy the game and be more effective out on the court. This first five, as far as building an athlete, and as I go through this, I'm going to give you some drills. I'm going to give you kind of just building the body. I'm going to give you some tips on how we can start to think about utilizing the dribble to break down the defense. And, you know, we've kind of mixed and put together different things that I've learned from other coaches, some of my own philosophies in here, and we kind of put it all together into this document. Again, I'll put it up on the Coach's Edge site. Building an athlete. How do we do a better job of building an athlete from a strength, explosiveness, movement standpoint? I think that it's easy for us to lose sight of that, not because we don't want to, but because there's so many things that go into being a basketball coach, from strategy, X's and O's, game planning, the program. And so I got this from Alan Stein and from Brian Sabo, kind of a combo of some things that I've learned from them. So building an athlete, stance, starting, stopping, changing direction, and adding contact. If we can do those five things, building an athlete, now we're going to be able to be more effective, avoid risk of injury. And obviously the skill development builds right into all of those different skills. Stance, simply working on some ball handling stationary, but concentrating on, I'm not just in one spot dribbling the ball, but I'm working on my base. I'm working on my strength. I'm working on holding a position that I'm going to have to be in many times throughout the course of a game, offensively and defensively, is great for our athletes. How do we start, right? So we're talking about teaching movement mechanics, right? How do we teach movement mechanics? How do we teach acceleration? How do we teach, you know, a defensive slide, movement laterally? We can start to do that. If we're going to teach people to start, one thing we don't do enough of, because it's not as sexy, it's not as attractive, as stopping. But how do we land? How do we sprint and stop? How do we get into a base to pick up the basketball into a shooting position? So teaching our athletes to be able to start and stop is huge. You know, we do a partner passing drill that it's literally like two cones. We'll teach the kids how to rip the ball. And so they'll rip the ball to like make a move, say it's at the sideline, and they'll dribble out to like the sideline of the volleyball line. And then they'll work on a stop. And sometimes we'll have them jump stop. Sometimes I'm not too picky. Sometimes we'll have them, you know, 1-2 step or stride stop, speed stop, get into their stop. And then they'll pivot, and then they'll make a pass to their partner. And then they run back to the sideline. Now their partner's caught the ball on the sideline. They rip the ball. They dribble all the way to the volleyball sideline. They get to their stop. They use on their pivot. They make the pass. And so we're able to, through this simple drill, we're working on catching, we're working on passing, we're working on starting, and we're working on stopping. And you could even build in change of direction, which, you know, technically there's kind of some change of direction in there. If we start to kind of move around and attack those spots from different sides, you put some cones out, working on change of direction, can all be very beneficial. Which gets into the fourth one, as far as building an athlete, how do we change direction? If we can't stop, it's going to be hard for us to change direction. So if we talk about stopping, we start working on change of direction and just efficient footwork from that standpoint. You know, there's some tips that are hard to break down on audio, but you know, a kid might change direction in 3 steps. We might be able to teach them how to do it in 1 or 2. There's things as far as trying to change direction tight instead of the big loop. A lot of players, even older players, if they're afraid of contact, maybe they're not afraid of contact. It's just they haven't been taught how to get into change of direction quickly. They'll start to loop and start instead of like hard cut, hard plant, boom, pushing and into a change of direction. So that's something that we can focus on. And then adding contact bumps, whether a player is stationary and they're handling the ball and we're just bumping them or kind of fouling them, whether it's like a more intense, like gauntlet drill, which is one of our one-on-one drills. You're looking right over here where players are, we're encouraging our defensive players to be a little more physical, a little more handsy as far as committing some fouls that we're not going to call. So building athletes up so they start to take contact in some of these different situations, whether they're stationary, whether they're moving, can be a great starting position. The daily dozen drills are something that I've slowly built, picked in pieces of other coaches and what some of their dribbles are that, you know, they feel are valuable. And then I start to add my own dribbles and kind of put my own spin on it. And so I've come up with this daily dozen, and it's 12 dribbles that you could do 10 reps of every one or 20 reps or however much time that you have. And it's a great way to work on some of that isometric stance, build the strength in your legs, your core, your foundation, while still working on your hands. It's a great warm-up to build some confidence for players, and you can do it in a short amount of time for our Coach's Edge members that's uploaded onto the site. Let's bump over here to some one-on-one drills. These are all on coachesedge.coach. So, and a million more, as you guys know, that are our members. So if you're not a part of Coach's Edge, I mean, there's like, I'm touching on it with this PDF, but what does it actually look like as far as the video PDF breakdowns? It's all on the website. So if you're on the fence about jumping into coachesedge.coach and our membership, now's the perfect time. It's the perfect time of year. Paint touches, the paint touch drill. If I'm on offense and you're on defense, I'm outside the 3-point line on the wing. Say go. It's my job to get a foot in the paint as many times as possible in 30 seconds. Every time I get a foot in the paint off the dribble, I get a point. Now, if I dribble past you and get a foot in the paint, I back dribble outside the 3-point line, keeping my dribble alive, and I try to reattack. And I'm attacking nonstop for 30 seconds. Let's say I get into the paint 4 times. Okay, well, now we switch. Now you're on offense. I'm on defense. You got to try to beat my score. If you get 5 and I had 4, that means I lost. I do 5 pushups, whatever. It's not like punishment. It's just something to help them make it competitive. And I say, hey, if it's a tie, you both lost, both give me 5 pushups. Then we'll switch and we'll do it another time from the other wing. And that's about how much we do it in our training sessions. We go offense, defense on one wing. We go offense, defense on the other wing. And then we're moving on to the next one. But it's high intensity. The kids are going really hard for 30 seconds. There's a quick breather and then they go really hard on offense or defense, whatever they were doing, opposite of what they were doing previously, and they get after it. This is a great drill. There's a couple teaching points that we do as far as being able to say, hey, you can't Charles Barkley this down and just back your defender all the way down. So if the defender gets a clean stop where you don't naturally change direction on your drive on your way to the paint, you have to back dribble outside the 3-point line and try to reattack again. When it comes to this, we'll go elbow. So if I'm on the right wing, I got to get to the right elbow and below, or to the right block and up. Because unless I'm trying to get that baseline pass, most of the time, if the defense has pushed me below the block and I'm behind the backboard, that's a spot that is really tough to be effective from. Really good players, yeah, they're going to be able to do it. Most players are not really good, and they're going to be in really big trouble, and they're going to panic down there. So we say block and above, elbow and below. So if they can't kind of round and get down from the free throw line, that doesn't count. 12-second drill. Offensive player has the basketball. Defensive player is guarding them. They're working on pivoting for 4 seconds, holding their position. They're working on dribbling in more of a stationary position. They're still using their feet, the body to protect. for 4 seconds, and then they're going to pick the basketball up and pivot again for 4 seconds, and then they're going to switch. And this is a great drill for us getting a little more comfortable with somebody in our face, with somebody pressuring us. We're not trying to run away from them. We're not trying to avoid this contact. We're just working on being really strong with the ball. So that's a great one right there. Lane line one-on-one. This is a Drew Hanlon drill. Ball starts on the baseline and the defender is right in front of him. I like to start with a live dribble, but you could do it off of the catch as well. And the player who's on the baseline needs to drive to the foul line. So it's not very far. And every time they switch hands, the defense gets a point, right? Again, if you can go to coachesedge.coach, it's a lot easier than explaining on audio. But the offensive player has to try to get to the foul line. Out of bounds is the lane lines. Out of bounds is the lane lines. So if I have the basketball and I'm trying to get by you and you deflect the ball, you get a point. You steal the ball, you get a point. I step out of bounds, I get a point. I lose the ball, you get a point. And so you're accumulating these points. Now, when I get the basketball, there's a few more rules in here. I'm kind of going over it pretty quick. Once I get the basketball to the foul line, you as a defender have so many points that you've earned from how you've played defense. Now we go to the three-point line. We check the ball. You're now on offense. And however many points you accumulated on defense is how many dribbles you can use to try to score on me. So if I'm starting on the baseline, you're playing defense, I need to get to the foul line, and you deflect the ball once. You steal the ball another time. I stepped out of bounds and I have to come back in and try again. And then eventually I get there. Well, you've earned 3 points, which means when we check the basketball up and you're at the 3-point line, you get 3 dribbles to try to score on me, right? So that's how the game goes. There's some more drills in here that we just don't have time to go over. I'd be talking for a really long time on this podcast if that was the case. 3 main tips to attack. Very simple for us to be able to teach the kids. 1, I got to close the gap. It's generally around arm's length away. You know, there's a common statement that says, you know, the defense is trying to take space and the offense is trying to create space. Yes. However, really good offensive players, they're looking to take space too. And when it comes to being a good driver, you want to close the gap on that defensive player. Usually it's around arm's length away, so that when you do make your move, that shoulder, the hip, that first step, they're getting down tight enough to the defense, which gets into phase 2 of tips to attack, which is attacking tight to the defense. So I got to close the gap enough that when I do make that move, I can attack tight to the defensive player. And now they're more likely to open up than they are to defensive slide, which is where I want to get them, right? I want them to essentially hip swing instead of shuffle. And if I can do that, now they're in trouble, because now as they've opened up, my shoulder's more or less to their chest. And even if I don't beat them and blow by them, I can still take that defender who's on my hip to the rim if I can handle the basketball. Now, preferably, I'm working on cutting the line, which is tip number 3. Cutting the line, I'm trying to veer back in front and get that defensive player on my back, at the very least initiate contact and keeping them attached on my hip, so that now they don't have the extra space to be able to beat me to a spot. Because that's what we're all taught. Defensively, somebody beats me, I'm trying to pick a spot in front, I'm trying to get into that spot and cut off the offensive player. Well, if I stay connected to you and I try to veer back in front of you, cutting your defensive line, now you can't do those things, right? So those are our 3 big tips to attack. Close the gap is going to be about arm's length away. We want to attack the body tight, attack hips and feet tight. And then we want to cut their defensive line before they can beat us to a spot. Those are our 3 tips to attack that we want our players to think about. And when it comes to handling and attacking ball pressure, you know, it's funny because there's this yin and yang to it. You know, we want players to have the ability to break down the defense at a high level. That makes the game so much easier for everybody. But we don't want players to over dribble at the same time. So our 5 reasons to handle the rock. this helps navigate those errors or the over dribbling that can take place with different teams. So are we using the dribble to advance the ball? Preferably it's with a pass. I like that pass to get across half court instead of a dribble to cross half court. But if we can pass the basketball up, can't do it. Okay, we're going to advance on the basketball with the dribble. The dribble can also create better spacing and can improve passing angles, right? Setting up our offense, getting to certain spots on the court. Dribble can be used for that. Dribble can be used to draw fouls. Even these three tips to attack. If I close the gap on the defender, I attack tight and I try to get back in front or keep the contact, they're more likely to foul me, right? So, I mean, just think of a game of basketball in general. A lot of games that I've been to, and about you, but the majority of the fouls that happen in the game are on a ball handler. So you think about that. If I have a player who can really handle the ball and really attack, we're going to draw more fouls as in a team, especially with the new NFHS rules, right? 5 fouls and a quarter, double bonus. That's going to be huge for us. Number four, creating scoring opportunities for yourself and teammates. Obviously, the dribble is used to score. So are we doing those things for ourselves and for others? That's a good reason to handle the basketball. And then number five, to get out of trouble, escape pressure, escape a trap, half court trap, full court press, just a time where maybe somebody's doubling off of a ball screen, escape a 5 second call, all great opportunities for us to get out of trouble by using the dribble. So 5 main reasons to attack: advance the ball, create better spacing and improve passing angles, draw fouls, create scoring opportunities for yourself and your teammates, and escape pressure. Ways that we can be hard to guard. All right. So a couple more things that I went over at this coach's clinic that I want to mention. I put on there, you know, great ball handlers can change speed, change direction, and they can change height, right? That's changing height with the dribble, changing height with the body. Changing direction with the dribble, changing direction with the body, changing speed with the body, changing speed with the dribble. And you start to mix and match these different things, and it becomes a really good player who's hard to stay in front of. We were running one of our basketball camps, and Coach Tim Davis, Liberty Center, Ohio, they got a heck of a basketball team there. And they want us to work on shooting, finishing, and ball handling during our 2 days that we spent together. And we're about half hour in. I can't remember if it's our first or second day of this camp. And he stopped the camp and he said, you know, ladies, listen, listen. What if one of you could handle the ball like that? What if one of you decided you were going to become elite at handling the basketball? How much better would that make our team? If one of you decided that this summer you were going to become elite, you were going to make that commitment to become this good at handling the basketball. And he was kind of referring to me and my demonstrations. And I take a lot of pride in my demonstrations and how I can handle the ball, you know, fast and intense and the footwork and just breaking things down and being able to physically demonstrate it. I take a lot of pride in. And so he's referring to me saying, well, what if one of you decided like you're going to take it that seriously? How good would we become? Because they got a great team already. But having a person that can really handle the rock makes life easy. And so that's the last tidbit that I want to leave you guys with is how much easier would it be if your team had one and preferably multiple players that can really handle the ball? And I'm not saying like, oh, we got this one boy or girl on our team and, you know, they're our trusted point guard and they handle the basketball. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what if you had a kid that had the ball on a string? What if you had a player on your team that could get to any part on the court whenever they wanted, and that they were so trusted by the rest of their teammates and the coaching staff that those players knew, like, they got it. We can run our offense. We can get to our spots because their ball handling skills are so good. That's helping put everybody else in a position to be successful. Now, it takes the skill as well as some of the IQ, which is why we broke down those 5 reasons to handle the rock. Those are really, really important because a player that can really handle the basketball, you got to give them some freedom. I understand. but we also need to make sure that they're handling the basketball with purpose. So I hope that you found this episode beneficial. If there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. CoachesEdge.coach membership is live. We're welcoming new coaches from around the United States. It's super, super exciting as we get to dig into basketball season. And I can't wait to see who else is going to join us on this journey going into basketball season. If you have any questions, let me know. contact@currentbasketball.com. Thank you for listening to the Coach's Edge podcast and checking us out on YouTube. Get after it today.